So let me tell you about my show. So my show today, hour one, songs old and new. Of course, my fantastic single of the week by the gorgeous Wallace, lovely Wallace Mayer. I've got 60s one-hit wonder. Now, I've not got an instrumental of the day yet, and if you can think of one, text in and let me know on 07592 574 352. My guest at 11 is an amazing girl. I've just met her in the coffee house. And she's called Margaret. I've known Margaret quite a long time. And she now has dysphonia. And dysphonia is an abnormal sound of your voice, including hoarseness. Now, I didn't really understand the implications of dysphonia until I met Margaret and her husband in the coffee house next door. And goodness me, honestly, it is really, really debilitating. And Margaret's coming in as the guest at 11 o'clock. Really, really interesting. And then the final hour of the show today, it's all about the 1970s. We're going to be playing songs from The Who, from the Alex Harvey Band, from David Bowie, from where else did I find? Roxy Music, early Roxy Music, Cheap Trick. And we are specifically looking at the chart of this day in 1979. What were you doing this day in 1979? Text in and let me know. So, final outbreak of hour one, coming back with my single of the week by the amazing Wallace Mayer. My guest is sat opposite me. I am so, so really excited to talk to Margaret all about this condition that she has called dysphonia. And as a nurse, I haven't got a clue about it. A nurse of 40 years, this is something I know nothing about. Margaret is a nurse as well. It's really, really, really interesting. We want to raise awareness because you bet your bottom dollar, as we're talking about it, one of you will know somebody who suffers. And I think just from looking at Margaret and talking to Margaret, that it's quite an isolating and debilitating condition. So at break and back with my single of the week.
Radio Northwich, playing decades of great music, 24 hours a day.
So we are 4 minutes past 11. This is Kim Smith. This is Radio Northwich. And it is Wednesday, the 12th of June. Now, I'm joined by a lady that I've known quite a long time. And she's called Margaret Stoddard. And she's come all the way from Garstang today. So for the listeners, tell us, Margaret, a little bit about you. Introduce yourself. So okay. Who are you, my dear?
Okay. As you say, my name's Margaret Stoddard. I'm a nurse. Work full-time as the cardiology catheter lab coordinator.
Oh, my goodness, that now. Cardiology, wowzers.
Yeah.
So you're in the
Blackpool Victoria Hospital.
So you're in the deep stuff, because cardiology are fantastic. Have you always loved an interest in cardiology?
Yes. Yeah, when I qualified, I was actually on cardiac intensive care for 9 years.
I remember that.
Before I went down to the cath labs.
Yeah, I remember that.
But now I run 5 labs on a daily basis. My day is spent literally talking all day long to consultants and staff and patients and wards. And we deal with emergencies, people who are having heart attacks, and we have elective patients coming in for angios and stents, pacemakers, all that kind of thing on a daily basis.
Wow.
So it's very fast-paced.
Very fast-paced and very full-on, I should imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been watching this. There's a documentary started on Channel 5, I think it is, about doctors working in a heart unit. You won't watch it because you don't watch it when you work within one. But I just think, oh, my goodness, how amazing is our NHS?
Absolutely. It's wonderful.
You know, what we achieve and what we do, it's fantastic. So just tell us a little bit about you. So I know you've been married to the same man for quite a long time, haven't you?
I have, yes. Yeah, very long time.
Very long time.
Yeah.
And he's going to be joining us in the studio, but he's gone shopping. He loves a bargain.
He's gone shopping, and he said he hasn't got time to come and join us because he's too busy getting lost.
Oh, bless him. Bless him.
So, but I did offer him.
Yeah. So in his absence, we can say a little bit about him and your family setup.
Yeah, okay. So my husband is now retired, And when he retired, he said, all I want to do is cut grass and wash cars. Oh, bless him. So he set himself up in a little gardening business, which is called the Lawn Ranger. And he's loving life.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and he's a full-time granddad.
So the Lawn Ranger is around Garstang, people.
It is.
Yes. Not local to us, sadly.
No.
It's the Lawn Ranger around Garstang. Does he have a little van or anything to put his
lawnmower
in?
No, but he has four sit-on tractors. I mean, who needs four tractors?
Well,
he keeps saying, oh, I bought another one.
No.
Why?
Stop it. So that's ridiculous. So I remember your house and I remember your garden. And I can really remember your garden.
Yeah.
So he's a very keen gardener. Or does he now not look after your garden because he's looking after others? Is that it?
No, he does.
He looks after your garden.
Yeah, he does look after the garden.
So he's a full-time granddad.
Yeah, full-time granddad.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And life's good.
Life is very good.
Very
yes.
good. Now, one thing I didn't know about you was your love of Elvis.
Oh, I've missed that, Elvis.
I've missed that. In our conversations that you and I have had over the years, and there's been many, we've never discussed Elvis,
no.
And I can't understand why.
So
when did you fall in, because we're the same age, so when did you fall in love with Elvis?
Oh, as long as I can remember. I mean, his songs were played in the house. My sister was a fan as well. She was older than me. And so I was always loved him. And then when the Elvis film came out with Austin Butler,
wow.
Which is absolutely amazing, and he's fantastic in it, it just rekindled that love, and
totally.
I am just obsessed. And so much so that I'm going to Graceland this year for my special birthday
December. Wow. And the funny thing is, on this day in 1989, the Elvis Presley Autoland Museum opens within Graceland's, and that was all his cars that he's ever had are there. So that'll just be fantastic to see that. I don't know whether that's still there.
It is there, yeah.
It is there. But Elvis, and just to touch on that film, I think it's only when you watch that film that you realise the impact he had.
Absolutely.
On rock and roll. What an impact.
Yeah.
Because he started, didn't he, at the lower end of the bill.
Yeah.
10th in the line.
Yeah.
He'd do his one song, and then they suddenly realised that there he was, strutting, cavorting, makeup on. He wore quite a lot of makeup, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hair gelled back. He was totally different from the old rock and rollers.
Absolutely.
If you look at pictures of him compared to, I don't know, Bill Haley in the comics, completely different kind of people. So that film is a good suggestion. If anybody wants a really good film, check it out.
Austin Butler is amazing.
Check
I can't say enough about him.
So she's going to Graceland for a special birthday. Anyway, now, are we ready? The very first track is Elvis, and you're going to enjoy this. Then we're going to come back and talk more, because I'm sure you've noticed while Margaret and I have been talking that she has a problem with her voice. So we'll be talking about that and what it is when we come back after this track.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch alone. Lonely time. Time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much for you. Still
yeah.
wowzers. And we're just, oh my goodness, you can hear the audience. Margaret and I are clapping as well. Now, there's things about this song that I didn't know. And you've just said to me, just explain about this song and the significance.
Yeah, so this song is the very last song that Elvis sung live on stage on the 26th of June, 1977. Wow. And he died in the August, on August the 16th, 1977.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That is just... And it's such a beautiful song written by... let's have a little look at this. Not written by Elvis at all, and it's been covered by...
He didn't write any songs.
...so many people. No, he didn't write any songs. You're right there, Margaret. But how amazing. And also, you said the guy that plays him in the film, he...
Austin Butler, yeah. Austin Butler lost his mum at the age of 23, which was the same age Elvis was when he lost his mum.
Wow.
Austin's mum died of cancer. And when he was looking for a song to sing for his audition tape, he'd always thought of this song as singing it to a lover, but he'd woken up from a nightmare that his mum was still alive but dying again. And he thought, and he got up and he thought, what can I do with all this emotion? It's going to be a horrible day. And so he just sat down at the piano, and instead of singing this song to a lover, he sung it to his mum.
Oh, honestly, we're going to be in tears, aren't we, the pair of us?
I am.
Honestly, we're in tears. We're going to go to a kick-up break. We'll be back in a sec.
Radio Northwich, playing decades of great music, 24 hours a day.
So, here we go. Now, I'd never heard of dysphonia at all. And I get this message from Margaret explaining to me that she has this condition. So dysphonia, was it something you knew about, Margaret?
Not until I had it.
So did you wake up one day and your voice was croaky? What happened to you?
No, it was gradual. And basically what happened was about 5 years ago, initially my voice just started to break in the middle of conversations and it became unreliable. Gradually got worse and worse over time, and even sometimes just giving up completely whilst I was in the middle of conversations.
Did you think, what on earth's happening to me?
I did.
Did you think as well that this was something really physical? Because we know as nurses that one of the throat cancer, for example, hoarseness and all that kind of thing, all your kind of symptoms can be symptoms of throat cancer. So were you sort of thinking, oh,
I was,
life.
I must admit, I was thinking that. But also, I had my thyroid removed
right,
in 1992. And the surgeon took, I think it was all of the right side and most of the left. He left a little bit so that I wouldn't need to go on medication for the rest of my life. So I wondered if it was a problem with my thyroid. Again.
Oh, they'd knock your voice box as they were moving?
Exactly, yes. So I went to the doctors and they did a scan, and the scan showed that I had multiple nodules, but they weren't sinister. And I've spoken to loads of consultants and speech and language therapists, because I was thinking, well, if I've got all these nodules in there, surely there must be strangling it.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And everybody said no. So it's literally, it's called dysphonia. There are many forms of dysphonia.
I know, I've noticed that. So many. Now, when you talk about nodules, are these the nodules that Elton John's had, that George Michael had? Singer's nose, they were called. Are they the same kind of nodules?
I guess, yes. But I have a lot in there.
Do you feel them? Do they affect your swallowing?
They don't affect my swallowing, but I can feel them. I've got one here that I can feel. And I can, if I press my throat.
What Margaret's doing now, because obviously we're on the radio, she's pressing it on this little neck that she's got. She's pressing and she can feel nodules there.
Yeah.
So you get this diagnosis.
Yes.
And your job, you've said, as a nurse, is chatting to people. You must have been in absolute despair.
I was.
Because it's okay being face-to-face to somebody like me. We're face-to-face now, and I can understand that, I can see you struggling. But if you're trying on the phone to speak to people, it becomes really difficult, particularly if you're speaking to patients.
Yeah.
Whose partner has got some serious heart condition, and here you are, and they can't hardly hear what you're saying.
Exactly.
You know,
yes.
It was quite debilitating for your job.
It is. It is. And and people will say to me, "Oh, you sound ill." You know, well, no, I'm not. You know, I'm not ill. This is me. This is how I speak now on a daily basis. And it's just something I've learned to live with. It hasn't stopped me from doing my job. It's difficult, but I get through it. And I'm supported 100% by my trust. I have to say, they've been wonderful.
Do you find after a night's rest, so when you're in bed and sleeping, when you wake up in the morning, is it better and then gets worse gradually throughout the day?
Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes it can be okay in the morning, but by the end of the day, it's just gone.
Oh, that's dreadful.
But there are many forms of dysphonia.
Yeah, tell us about them.
Well, mine is muscle tension dysphonia. There's also spasmodic dysphonia. There's vocal paralysis. There's vocal tremor. I think I have a mixture of everything, really, because I've got a bit of a tremor going on as well. So there's many, many forms. And it's taken me 5 years of research to discover exactly what it is.
Wow.
And it shouldn't have taken that long.
It shouldn't have taken that long. But like most things like this that you have been handed, and, you know, the fact you are a nurse and the fact you are, as a nurse, you become very good at investigations and what's going on. You've got this title, you've been handed this condition. It's called dysphonia. And you didn't know anybody else that had it. Did you see if there was anybody else that had it?
No, I didn't know anybody that had it. Nobody.
Wow.
Not one person. And yet, 10% of the UK population suffer with dysphonia.
Wow.
10%. But this is why I'm trying to raise awareness.
Absolutely.
Because not enough people know about
it. No. I did look on social media last night, and there are quite a few groups within Facebook of the different types of dysphonia.
Yeah.
So there are, I'm guessing the support groups.
I'm members
groups.
Of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, members of them all, yeah. I'm guessing the support groups.
Yes.
And the fact that you are a nurse almost gives you a little bit of credence because you've got a little bit more knowledge. Although anybody who gets a condition like this becomes an expert in the condition because they suffer with it.
Yeah.
But for you, on a daily basis, it must be so debilitating.
It's debilitating and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, and people are very, very patient with me. You know, they just let me just get my breath again before I talk again. Because I do this a lot, you know, I push on my throat a lot to try and see if I can get my voice. It doesn't help, but...
You feel that psychologically,
you're
moving the nodules
exactly.
off your voice box somehow.
Exactly.
Because nurses are, what are we, evidence-based? So we're
yes.
saying, yeah, you're thinking, if I move those, that'll
yeah.
release my voice box.
Yeah, that's right. So people are very patient with me and they know I have this problem and they understand, but it's almost like when I'm talking to someone on the phone, I can almost hear them moving closer to the phone to understand what I'm saying.
And to will you to be able to...
And to will me to get it
out.
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Has it gone worse since your diagnosis?
Yes, it's just been getting worse and worse. And through all of the research that I've done, I've had private appointments with people. I've had Botox injections, which worked, but only worked for a month. But that was all.
And what was their aim? I mean, Botox, to be fair, because Botox has been part of both our lives, cosmetically.
Yeah.
But Botox is the most amazing drug that does amazing things for lots of
Absolutely.
Conditions. So what was their aim giving you Botox? What did they feel that might achieve?
It relaxed the muscles.
Right,
enough for me to be able to get my voice out without having to strain.
Oh, my goodness. So did you feel for that month that
it was
almost
amazing.
Singing? Were you almost singing your socks off?
It was amazing. But as I say, I had to have that done privately and couldn't afford to keep it up. I did... more research, and I've seen four different consultants over the years, and I saw somebody to see if I could get it on the NHS, but he said he didn't know anybody that did it on the NHS. So I feel like I'm bashing my head against a brick wall most of the time.
And then, but if you're saying 10% of the population have this, so you work at Blackpool, Victoria. Now, that must have, I don't know how many staff, 6,000, 5,000?
We've got other things, about 4,000.
4,000. So there's going to be about 400 people
that
unknowingly at this point.
Exactly. And the Trust did a feature for World Voice Day in April, and they featured me on the Trust in the Trust newsletter. And following that, I had actually three people from that work in the Trust contact me to say that they had a problem.
Wow!
So I'm meeting up with them.
That's interesting. And they'd all got different problems.
Different problems, but yeah, all related with voice problems.
So some people may have, because you're sort of very intermittent,
yes,
your voice, isn't
yes,
it? But
yes.
Some people might just have a little bit of hoarseness.
Yep. Some people can only whisper. A very good friend of mine who I met through Dysphonia International, who is also an area contact leader with me, she literally can only speak with a whisper. So,
oh, goodness.
Yeah.
And one thing you've said, and one thing you said at the introduction, is that you've got grandchildren.
Yes.
And grandchildren recognise your voice.
Yes.
Because your children are old enough, but grandchildren recognise your voice. And that is really difficult for you because...
It is, but even my grandchildren...
Are they straining to listen to you?
Straining sometimes, yeah. Oh. Yeah, and I say to them, now be good for Nana, don't make Nana look...
Yeah, don't make Nana shout. Can you shout?
Do you shout? Unfortunately, sometimes you have to shout,
yeah,
don't
you?
But once if I do, it's gone.
It's gone for the day. And what about singing? Because singing is just such an integral part of all our lives.
Well, I was in an operatic society, many different operatic societies for years. And I loved musical theatre. I loved being on stage. I loved singing. I was a top soprano. Absolutely loved it. Can't sing a note now.
I mean, I can see that this impacting not only physically but mentally. You know, it is restricting your activities. We all know the benefits of music on mental health. And, you know, that massively, because I saw you tear up a bit when you said that, because it has stopped you doing that. And we need to know, if you know of anybody that has a problem with their singing voice or their talking voice... I mean, I've always been hoarse, and I was treated for nodules in 1989. And I was told I had to have a voice rest for 6 weeks, which I did. And I've never had anything else, and I do have hoarseness.
Yeah.
But, you know, dysphonia, we need to get this out there.
Yeah.
We need to know, because there'll be people who may be listening or friends of people who are listening. I'm thinking back to a sister that I used to work with back in the day on Ward 10 at Leighton Hospital. And she must have had it way back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I used to think, I just don't understand what...
And you just don't realise it. Just one day you just think, oh, my voice is a bit hoarse.
Yeah.
Oh, my voice is breaking. But you don't know what it is.
And like you say, I'd have been absolutely full of anxiety and dreadful because I've had cancer. If I get anything, as my family and particularly my husband will tell you, I always think the worst now. And I would think that as the absolute worst, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So
if you are listening and you do struggle with this, don't be thinking it's something the worst. Although what you have is a chronic condition, and sometimes chronic conditions are sort of brushed under the carpet.
Yeah.
They are the worst because this is going to be with you as long as you're here. Now, we're going to give your voice a little bit of a rest, and we're going to play your next piece of music by Benson Boone. Now, you say this is your grandchildren, so you've got six grandkids.
Favorite. Yes.
So how old are they?
They range from 19
to... No, stop that.
7.
19?
Megan's 19.
Wow. Goodness me. Honestly, that's passed me by. 19 to 7, so they're all growing up.
Yeah.
No more babies. In the Stoddart family.
No.
That's good. Anyway, now, sorry, I just had a tickle there. Nothing to do with Margaret, I just had a tickle. So here we go. This is Beautiful Things. This is Benson Boone. So we are having some really positive feedback. Margaret's had some amazing feedback. Can you read out the message that you had?
Yeah. So this is from one of the ladies who's at Dysphonia International in America, in North Carolina. And she just said, fantastic work to raise awareness about dysphonia, Margaret. The Dysphonia International community appreciates your outreach.
Oh, that is amazing. So this is a worldwide problem here.
Yeah.
And Margaret being Margaret didn't just think, oh, right, I've got dysphonia, I work full time, I've got six grandchildren, I've got a husband who loves gardening and he's got four sit-on mowers. Now I'm going to roll my sleeves up here and do something else because I would like to reach out
yeah.
to others who may feel absolutely isolated. So you have become a coordinator.
Yes, yeah. So during all of the research, I was sat at home one day and I just thought, I know what I'll do. I'll start a support group. And then I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll just have a look and see what else is yeah. out there first. And I came across Dysphonia International, which is based in America. And I contacted them and they welcomed me into the group. So much so, I get involved with their monthly Zoom meetings.
Oh, wow.
We do that. And I've now become a local area contact leader for Dysphonia International. And I cover the Northwest and the Northeast. And the reason I cover the Northeast is because that's where I'm originally
Absolutely.
From.
I was going to say, I remember, it's all coming back to me now, you are yeah, from the Northeast.
I am.
And every now and again,
in Sunderland,
a little bit of Northeastern accent comes
yeah.
out in Margaret's lovely voice.
Yeah.
So you are the Dysphonia coordinator for the Northwest and the Northeast. So
yeah.
anybody listening, how would they get in touch with you, Margaret?
Well, they can... I can give you all of the information.
I'll get all the details and we'll be sharing that later on. Yeah.
Email, Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok.
Stop
you
it.
Name it.
So
I'm on
you
everything.
Do not do
I'm on
TikTok.
All...
Margaret Stoddard does not do TikTok.
I don't. I am on TikTok, but I don't do it.
No, you get your grandchildren to do it for you.
I've created my own podcast as well, which is going to be called My Voice, My Way.
I think that's amazing. And
I've worked it out.
Yeah, once you've worked it out. No, I know. I became part of a podcast a few weeks ago and they interviewed me on a Zoom and then it became something that they share on YouTube, I think, and it gives people support. Others will listen into it and find it helpful or not helpful.
Yeah.
So that's what you're doing, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because you are raising the profile
yeah.
of dysphonia. There are that many different types of dysphonia. I couldn't believe it.
Absolutely.
But you are there with the umbrella of dysphonia.
Yeah.
You're covering all types of the condition, the chronic
yeah.
condition.
And even if they just want to talk to someone, and it sounds odd saying
talk
when you've got a dysphonia, but I'm there to help if I possibly can, because I know how isolating it yeah. can be for people, and it's so frustrating.
Oh, totally. I mean, we know isolation can lead to real problems with mental health. And we've already spoken about, you know, the loss of your performing as a singer in amateur dramatics has affected you. You didn't say it. I watched you tear up.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't want people who, more and more people are feeling isolated in life generally.
Yeah.
You don't want people who are becoming isolated because they've got a problem. And it's really, really bizarre because I remember when I had this hoarseness, these singer's nodes, and I was told not to talk. And people spoke to me as if I was stupid. Like they go, are you okay? Like mouthing the words as if I was deaf. People
yeah.
don't know how to handle somebody who's got a problem with their speaking yeah. voice, do they?
That's right, they don't.
You know, they don't know. People, like you say, go close up to you. They invade your personal space because they're trying to hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one. And that's why we have to raise the profile. Dysphonia, until Margaret sent me the info, as a trained nurse of 40 years, I didn't know. Never heard of it.
No, I didn't.
You know, and...
But there is help out there.
There is help out there.
And what, I encourage people to seek that help.
And what help is there? What help is there?
Well, the speech and language therapists, of
okay.
course. They're absolutely amazing. I am seeing a speech and language therapist at Withenshaw Hospital. But again, I had to arrange all that myself.
Yeah, totally.
Because there was nothing in my local area.
Right, okay.
I did have speech and language, but the lady that I went to freely admitted that it wasn't in her remit. She
got you.
She didn't really know
how to help.
How to help, yeah.
And what kind of, is there exercises? What
exercise.
What can they
I
give
do,
you?
Yes, I do. I do exercises on a daily basis. And it's basically, because I have this problem, what I tend to do is take a big deep breath in and I hold my breath. I can plank like nobody.
I can do so many planks. My tummy muscles are rock solid. I can see.
Because I hold my breath so much, because I need to get this sentence out, and I hold it, and then I can eventually talk. So, yeah, so he teaches me all these different exercises that I can do to try and relax my tummy and get the breath out without having to do what I'm doing. It's just so hard.
It is, because you must feel under pressure, particularly with your job. And if anybody has this condition and they are working with it, particularly with your job, because you feel that you want to... You're a nurse. You are in control of the situation as a nurse. It's up to you to welcome people. And if they feel that you already are not well or vulnerable... I mean, physically, you are well, aren't you?
Yes,
there's nothing wrong with you.
Absolutely. Fine. It's just the voice.
I'm going to ask her to plank before she goes, because she's said that she's got this best abdominal muscles.
Not a problem.
I know, because it's called an asymmetric contraction that you are doing,
yes,
where you pull your belly button towards your back.
Yes.
And it's very, very good. So, anyway, now, right, we're going to go to another piece of music. And this is Austin Butler. Now, before the film Elvis, I didn't know him. Did you know who he was?
I did know him, but... since he was in Elvis, I must have watched everything that he's been in.
Wow.
Ever since. He's an amazing actor. And he's the Hollywood superstar now.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely.
But he looks like he's got a Hollywood superstar
written
all over
him. I can't wait
for
the 21st of June when The Bike Riders come out.
Oh, is that his next film, The Bike Riders?
That's the next film, yeah.
It's not one of those naked bike riders that they did around London last week.
He was in June. He played Fade Rother in June. It was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Carrie Diaries, loads of different things.
I think she's got a bit of a fancy.
I have.
Okay, Margaret. Do you have a bit of a fancy thing?
You can have a fancy even at this age.
Totally and utterly you can have a fancy, and he is rather gorgeous. And to be fair, when I saw him shaking his hip as Elvis, I was a bit shocked. Because, anyway, now we're going to play his song. This is Trouble, and this is Austin Butler.
I love this
version. Check him out. Check him out on your musical platforms, because I didn't even know he was an artist that could sing or had songs out. But anyway, here we go. Oh, my goodness. No, in the studio, we've got Brian in, and he was doing a bit of hip swinging while that was on. Brian's Mr. Stoddard. Mr. Stoddard, with the four sit-on lawnmowers and the Lawn Ranger, has entered the studio.
Professional granddad,
the Lawn Ranger, has entered the studio. Yeah, he's sat there now. He's celebrity in his own right. So you are the UK coordinator for the North West and the North East for dysphonia, a condition I didn't know about till Margaret messaged me and said, do I remember it? Which is ridiculous, of course I remember. I remember people from my past. I don't remember people from today.
I have to say, that comes with age.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I am really proud that you are doing this, because it is easy just to sit in your own little world and, you know. And I just had a thought then. People who have this, who suffer with hay fever, that must be dreadful, because my voice goes worse with hay fever. So does Brian. Well, it's ridiculous. Brian, he's a Lone Ranger and he has hay fever. Goodness me, what was he thinking? So you're thinking about a different hobby, a different little part-time job than cutting grass when he's got hay fever. But that can affect people's voices dreadfully.
Yes. Yeah,
so if
absolutely.
You have dysphonia and you've always had hay fever, oh my goodness, you must have to almost write the summer off, because you'll struggle.
And I haven't struggled with hay fever ever. So I know it's not that.
No.
Yeah, I do feel for people that do struggle with that.
So when you're seeing your speech therapist, you have to find a specific speech therapist who knows what exercises to give you.
Yes, exactly. And they are the specialists at Withenshaw Hospital.
Okay, so the team at Withenshaw Hospital there can cater
amazing.
For your needs. If you won the lottery, you'd have Botox every...
Every month.
Every month.
Yeah.
Because that really... Does your voice ever go back to Margaret's voice then?
No. When I had Botox, yes.
Do you
but
become...
other than that, no.
No.
I've never got the voice back that I used to have.
And yet, because I've not spoken to you for a long time, it's still your voice, but a different voice, if that makes sense.
Yes,
it's
a
quieter, raspy. I noticed raspy is one of the words.
Raspy, hoarse. Yeah, gravelly.
Gravelly.
Yes. You get memories up on Facebook, and there was a memory came up last week, and I played it, and I thought, oh... That was me with a voice. And it was just lovely to hear my voice again.
Did you get sad?
I did. Yeah, because it was about 7 years ago.
Yeah, it is. And this is the impact of this
is
physically impacting and mentally impacting. And I think, you know, and we're taking this really serious. You know, if you're listening in and you think Margaret's here and she just sounds a bit gravelly, and, you know, used to me, I sound gravelly. But Margaret, you know, her voice is breaking. You've not been able to say a sentence properly without your voice breaking up mid-conversation. This is a really, really dreadful chronic condition that impacts on everything.
Yeah,
and isolating.
Very isolating. Yeah,
for the person.
Very. And during conversation, if there's a few people talking in a conversation at work, you know how you normally you would just get involved,
wouldn't you?
I just sit back and say nothing now, because by the time I can get my voice out, they've moved on.
And that's not you.
And that's not me.
Because you are an interjector. You are life and soul.
Yeah.
You used to take in food and cake and everything for everybody.
I still do that.
Do you still do that? I remember. I remember all that. You used to have all nurses that didn't eat properly. I think you used to cook the meals and stuff. I remember all that. You're a kind soul. And that's why it's important that you are the person that is going to be the coordinator. Yeah. Is there anything that we can look forward to in the future? Is there anything that I can help with apart from raise awareness? What do you want from us?
I've started my own podcast, which I've called My Voice, My Way. And I've recorded my first one. I even bought a special microphone, which wasn't cheap. I recorded it, but now I can't actually upload it to a platform.
Absolutely.
Because I just don't know what I'm doing.
No, no. And the thing is, what you need is, I'm very surprised that your 17-year-old grandchild can't help you with that, because normally we have work experience students and we go, we're struggling with this, and they go, oh, very silly. And they've done it within a nanosecond. I interviewed Steve Harley from Cockney Rebel, and he's since died. So I wanted that going onto YouTube, for example, and it had to be turned from a voice thing into a video technical.
Yeah.
So I got a young person to do that. So I don't know if there's any podcasters out there. Can you help us here, really?
Please.
And tell us
what
Margaret does. She's got this fantastic, great podcast. There'll be people who will be messaging in. There'll be people who will be sharing their own experiences with you, because that's what you want.
Yes.
Particularly if there's that many dysphonia, if there's that many different types of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because not everybody will have your symptoms, will they?
No. So many different ones out there. But I just encourage people to seek help. They can contact me. They can contact Dysphonia International, whoever. Just seek help as soon as possible.
Don't
wait.
Yeah, don't be lonely with this, people. Don't get isolated with this, because we know what all those things do to you. So we're going to go to a fantastic piece of music. Sorry, I shouted then. That was a bit loud if you were listening. Hope you didn't jerk your coffee and your custard cream dropped in it. You're having custard cream. I'm so envious. I'm on 1,200 calories a day, and custard creams have just got to be... can't even look at them. Bread is the devil in my house. Right, here we go. Your final piece of music. I love this song. It's a very cheery song, and it's talking about today. Sadly, this is the only day this week that we're probably going to see blue sky. So it's ELO, Mr. Blue Sky. So we've got 5 minutes to go, and it's been an absolute joy to chat to Margaret. We've known each other a long time, and probably, 20 years, I would say.
Years.
And many a happy time spent at Brooklyn's Health... I miss that.
I do.
That was such a fantastic place, run by our fantastic family.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
Wonderful.
And just...
it's nice that we're still friends with them.
Oh, totally. And it was just such a joyous place. And many people spent many a happy day there.
Yeah.
Being pampered.
Oh,
absolutely
beautiful.
Pampered. Beautiful, beautiful place. And you live in Garstang, but you've come all this way because it's really important to spread this message and get this message out, because no other local radio station or national radio station has come back to you, and you felt that you were stuck, you know.
Yeah.
And if all we've done is open the conversation, excuse the pun, and get people talking about dysphonia.
Indeed.
Because it is a bit of a pun, because obviously opening the conversation... you struggle. Do you feel, as I'm asking you a question, you're doing the deep breath malarkey thing? Is that what you do?
Yeah, all the time. And I feel like I've constantly got a sore throat.
Do you survive on, like, Lockett's hack? Do they not help any?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've got Jakeman's constantly in my
drawer. Have you got shares in Jakeman's?
Yeah, got shares in Jakeman's.
And which is your favourite? Is it the lemon one?
Black
one. Yeah, I'm a black.
Love it.
Be very careful how we say this here, but yes, I am that person. So shares in Jakeman's, I'm pretty much the same.
Yeah.
If you go over there, there's some sweets called Army and Navy. They're £1.
Yes.
And they're really, really good.
All right.
Sadly, they're very, very sugary. And you might next time I see you, you might have your teeth. But they're really, really good. They're really good.
I like my teeth.
Yeah, yeah, you've got very nice teeth. Quite envious of a teeth. Good teeth mean you have a good jawline and good round your mouth. Yeah, she's got good, nice, proper teeth, as our Margaret. So, you know, this is about raising awareness. This is the first time we will be doing this again. We'll be making sure that Radio Northwich is going to be the local link that I will, you know, work with Margaret, and anything that Margaret has going on, she'll share it with me and I can share it with you. And if you do know somebody who suffers, because can you get this as a consequence or a side effect from an operation? Is it called dysphonia or is it not called dysphonia? Do you know where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I suppose it could. But it's just, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
No.
I don't know where I got it from.
No.
I have no idea.
No.
It just was suddenly there.
And it's something
that
you'd rather...
It was a gradual thing that just got worse.
Oh, Margaret, I do feel so sorry. Really, really sorry. But we're here to raise awareness and to... You know, even if you did fundraising or a coffee morning or anything, we just need to
There's a walk in October.
Oh, there's a walk in October. Yeah. Where's the walk?
Which I'll be doing that. Well, you can do it wherever you want.
Oh, my goodness. So
everybody can just do it and you just go wherever you want.
And it's
and if they go on Dysphonia International website, that will tell you more about it.
Right, okay. We'll be checking out the Dysphonia International website and...
And they can find me through there as well.
Okay, she keeps hitting the thing. It doesn't matter.
Sorry, I keep
next
hitting
time
the
she
mic.
Come. Next time she comes, she'll be she'll be better. I think you've done really well because you were really nervous.
I still am.
No, you're not nervous. And you kept saying to me, "Send me questions." Well, it's just rolls.
Yeah.
This is just us. We're friends.
Yeah.
It rolls, you know. And I don't want you to ever have felt sort of like, oh, you know. I want you to have felt that we've said what we've said.
Yeah.
And
it's very relaxing. Yeah, thank you, Kim.
Really relaxing. Like a bit of a massage. It's been lovely. I feel really sad for you.
Thank you.
I feel sad that you've lost your ability to sing. And I feel sad, but so glad that you are rolling your sleeves up and wanting to raise awareness and help others.
Absolutely.
Help others.
Absolutely.
Not be isolated.
Yeah.
Now, have you got any shout-outs? Anybody you'd like to say hello to while you've got the opportunity?
Oh, goodness. Well, obviously, my husband's here.
Yeah, he's there.
Brian. I've got two daughters. Kimberly, my eldest daughter, still lives in the Northeast.
Does she?
Yeah. With her husband, Bruce.
And I remember Bruce.
The four children, which is Megan, Libby, Charlie and Beau.
Wow, gorgeous.
And then Charlotte, our youngest daughter, is also a nurse at Blackpool Victoria.
I remember
She's
Charlotte, yes.
Respiratory nurse specialist at Blackpool. And she has two children who live, 213 yards away from us.
Oh, well done. Well done, Charlotte.
And her two children are Arthur and Matilda.
So I'm guessing Arthur and Matilda are your extended. Is that your job, is it? Your full-time job?
Yeah.
Great. So you were on school pickups and everything. How amazing. Oh, that's what being a grandparent's all about. Feed them. Do they ask to sit on the sit-on mower? No. The one of four sit-on mowers. But yes, so... And anybody at work, anybody... You know, when you just said about Charlotte being a respiratory nurse, you almost feel that the respiratory team... Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because she comes across quite a lot as well.
Does she?
Yeah. A lot of hers is to do with respiratory anyway. But I bet some of those people have got some kind of dysphonia
as well.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. But yes, all of my work colleagues, hello to everybody in the cath labs, Blackpool Victoria.
Yeah. Blackpool Victoria Hospital, we're giving you a big shout out. And you are in such a great location.
Yeah.
Over that park, you're overlooking that park, aren't you? I once did the Walk for Life, the Race for Life there,
oh, yes.
I think.
Yeah.
There. Way, 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 way back. Anyway, now, the final hour of my show. is all about the 1970s, Margaret. We remember it well.
Yeah.
Putting our handbags down on the floor, dancing. Were you still living in the Northeast then? And
yes, we were. We moved over here in 1999.
So you put your handbag down and you dance. Yeah. Oh, those are the days. Very often to tunes like these. So here we go.
You are listening to Kim Smith's All Our Yesterdays, featuring the 1970s. Whether you like them, glam, rock, punk, rock, disco, or synth, it's all here on Radio Northwich.
And I want to say thank you to Margaret and her lovely husband from coming all the way from Garstang, talking about dysphonia, and we'll be sharing all the information all over the place because it's a condition that's horrible and it's chronic. You heard Margaret struggling to communicate, and just thank you to my show sponsor, because without my show sponsor, couldn't do my show. So here we go.